Hi, this is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inner Arbor Solutions, and you're listening to Briefing Direct. Today, a sponsored podcast discussion about rethinking virtualization. Virtualization in IT and information technology has become a very hot topic in the last several years, and we're approaching perhaps a tipping point in the market where its adoption and acceptance is really rampant and starts offering some significant benefits in terms of cost and performance. So we're going to talk about rethinking virtualization across multiple tiers of virtualization for applications, infrastructure, desktop, and perhaps even some other applications. We're going to also look at this through the lens of a contextual approach to virtualization, not simply a tactical standalone benefit, but in the context of larger IT transformation activities, including application modernization, data center consolidation, next-generation data center architectures, and, of course, trying to reduce the total costs of IT as a percent of revenues for large organizations, but, of course, also energy considerations and some others. To help us sort through this issue of context and strategy for virtualization, as well as to look at a number of initiatives that Hewlett-Packard is now embarking upon, we're joined by John Bennett. John is the Worldwide Director of Data Center Transformation Solutions and also the Hewlett-Packard Technology Solutions Group Lead for Virtualization, all at Hewlett-Packard. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you very much, Dana. Pleasure to be with you today.
Now, when we talk about virtualization as a red-hot trend, just how big a deal is virtualization in the IT market right now?
Well, virtualization is certainly one of the major technology-oriented trends that we see in the industry right now, although I'm always reminded that virtualization is not new. It's been available as a technology going back 30 to 40 years. We see a great deal of excitement, especially around server virtualization, but that's being extended to many other areas as well. We see a large number of customers, it's certainly well over half, who have actively deployed virtualization projects. We seem to be at a tipping point in terms of everyone doing it or wanting to do it.
Now, are they doing this on a piecemeal basis, on a tactical basis? Is it being done properly in a methodological framework or across the board? What sort of a market trend are we looking at in terms of adoption patterns?
In terms of adoption patterns, especially for x86 server virtualization, we seem to see virtualization being driven more as kind of tactical or specific types of IT projects. It's not uncommon to see customers starting out either to just absolutely reduce costs, to improve the efficiency and utilization of the assets they have, or using virtualization to address issues they might have with energy cost. Energy capacity or sometimes even space capacity in the data center. But it's very much focused around IT projects and IT benefits. The interesting thing is that as customers get engaged in these projects, their eyes start to open up in terms of what else they can do with virtualization. For customers who have already done some virtualization work, they realize there are interesting manageability and flexibility options for IT. You know, I can provision servers or server assets more quickly. I can be a little more responsive to the needs of the business. I can do things a little more quickly than I could before. And those clearly have benefits to IT with derived value to the business. Then they start to see that there's interesting benefits around availability, being able to reduce or eliminate planned downtime, and also to respond much more quickly and expeditiously to unplanned downtime incidents, which then lends itself to the conversation around disaster recovery and into business continuity, if not continuous computing and disaster tolerance. It's a very interesting evolution of things with increasing value to the business, but it's very much stepwise and today tends to be focused around IT benefits. And it's kind of missing the opportunity, we think.
All right, so we've been on this evolution, and as you say, virtual machines, the hypervisors, this approach to isolating activity at a level above the actual metal, the binaries, this has been around for some time. Why is this catching on now? Is it not just economics? And if if what you're talking about are business outcomes, why are they important and why is virtualization being applied to them now?
It really did start with economics. But the real business value to virtualization comes in many other areas that are much more critically important to the business. One of the first of them is having an IT organization that is able to respond to dynamically changing needs in real time, you know, increasing demands for particular applications or business services, being able to throw additional capacity very quickly where it's needed, whether that's driven by seasonal factors or whether it's driven by just systemic growth in the business. We see people looking at virtualization to improve the organization's ability to roll out new applications and business services much more quickly. We also see, in effect, they're gaining some real key value in terms of agility and flexibility in having an IT organization that can be highly responsive to whatever's going on in the business, short-term and long-term. We also see, as I highlighted earlier, the fact that it really does connect into business continuity, which we see in many of the market research surveys we do year after year, continues to be a top-of-mind concern for CEOs and CIOs alike.
So perhaps we're at this point in time where IT has become so essential to so many aspects of how businesses operate that the ability of making IT dynamic, responsive, of having redundancy and failover and many of the mission-critical aspects that we expect of perhaps certain transactional systems, that's now being able to extend almost anything you do with IT if it's being supported through a virtualized environment.
Well, it's actually being supported through any environment, and it's why we in HP have such a strong focus around business technology, because there are very few modern enterprises, whether they're private or public entities, that really could address their missional and business goals without IT.
Right.
It really is just completely a fundamental fabric of the business today. And having that environment be responsive and be protected and be reliable and deliver quality of service are all very key attributes of that environment, which is why we see, you know, next generation data centers and adaptive infrastructure from Hewlett-Packard as being very key for that, and it's why we speak around the idea of data center transformation. Because if that's the IT environment you want, including virtualization, how do you get there from wherever you are at?
And I suppose it's also important to point out that we're not just talking about virtualization, but we're talking about mixtures, where there's going to be plenty of physical infrastructure and technology in place, but increasingly virtualized instances here and there, and it's managing these together that I suppose is the most important discussion point at this point in time.
It certainly is one of the more topical points right now. What we see is customers start to deploy virtualization more broadly, and as they want to run more and more of their applications in virtualized environments, that there are two very key challenges that arise. One of them is one of diversity. Customers are accustomed to diversity of the infrastructure, but now we have diversity with the virtualization base, the virtual machines that they're using, the number of suppliers involved in it. And diversity brings complexity, and complexity brings increased risk usually. One aspect of that diversity is control and management. As you have different virtual machines, each with their own management tools and paradigms, how do you manage from an applications or a quality of service or a service level agreement point of view across physical and virtual resources and infrastructure that are being used to deliver those services to the business? And how do you deal with managing, you know, physical infrastructure from different manufacturers and virtual resources from different manufacturers? Another complication that comes up from a control and management point of view as customers strive to use it more pervasively in the data center is you have to deal with the skill sets of the people you have in the IT organization and the resources available to you to help implement these projects. And one of the virtues of looking at virtualization more comprehensively is that you're able to actually free up resources more to focus on business services and business priorities and less on management and maintenance if you look at virtualization more strategically and you say it's not just the servers, but it's my storage and network environment around them. It's my management tools and processes. It's how I do everything together. And when I look at it comprehensively, I can not only have a very clean set of controls and procedures in place for running and managing the data center, but now I have the opportunity to start making significant shifts in resources away from management and maintenance and into business priorities and growth.
Hmm. So we are faced with a potential tipping point, but that also brings about, I suppose, a new level of risk because you're moving from a tactical implementation into a variety of implementations, perhaps at the application level, at the infrastructure and server level. Increasingly, we're seeing interest in the desktop virtualization. But we're also seeing a mixture of suppliers and technologies. And we're also seeing this in the context of other initiatives with the goal being transformation. It seems that if you don't do this all properly with some sort of a framework or at least a conscious approach at of managing this from beginning to end on perhaps a life cycle mentality, that there could be some serious pitfalls. You could actually stumble and subvert those benefits that you're looking to enjoy.
Yeah, we see both pitfalls, i.e. problems that arise from not taking a comprehensive approach, and we see missed opportunities. Just probably the bigger loss for an organization that there's, you know, they could see what the potential of virtualization is, but they weren't able to realize it because their implementation path didn't take into account everything it had to in order to be successful. And this is where we introduce the idea of kind of rethinking virtualization. And we describe it as rethinking virtualization in business terms. And what it means looking at is looking at maximizing your business impact first by taking a business view of virtualization. And then it maximizes the IT impact by taking a comprehensive view of virtualization in the data center. And then it maximizes the value to the organization by leveraging virtualization for client implementations where it makes sense. But it's always driven from a business perspective. What is the benefit to the business, both quantitative and qualitative, and then drilling down, kind of like unfolding an onion, if I can borrow the analogy from the Shrek movie, where you go from, okay, I have this business service is delivered through virtual and physical resources, which means I need management and control and governance of both physical and virtual resources, and then underneath that, I want to be able to go from insight and control into management and execution. So I want to be able to drill down from the business processes and the business service management and automation tools into the infrastructure management, which in turn drills down into the infrastructure itself. You know, is the infrastructure designed to be run and operated in a virtualized environment? Is it designed to be managed from an energy control point of view, for example? Is it designed to be able to move virtual resources from one physical server to another without requiring an army of people? And so part of the onus is on Hewlett-Packard, in this case, to make sure that we're integrating and implementing support for virtualization into all of the components in the data center so that it works and we can take advantage of it. But it's up to the customer also to take this business and data center view of virtualization and looking at it from an integration point of view, because if you do virtualization as point projects, what we see is you end up with management tools and processes that are outside of the domain of the historical investments you've made, whether it's in IT service management and ITIL, or in business service management. We see virtual environments that are disconnected from the insight and controls and governance and policy procedures put in for IT, which means that if something happens at a business services level, you don't quite know where to go about fixing it because you can't locate it. And that's why you really want to take this integrated view from a business services point of view, from an infrastructure and infrastructure management point of view, and also in terms of your client architectures.
All right. Now, as we're rethinking infrastructure and in the context of virtualization, we also are looking for these business outcomes. Are we at the point yet where the business leaders are saying we need virtualization? Have they connected the dots yet where they really know what they want from business outcomes and really don't care whether it's virtualization that gets there or not?
Well, from a business leader's point of view, they don't care about virtualization, right? I mean, from a business leader's point of view, whether it's a CEO or a line of business manager, even a CFO, you know, their focus is around what are the business priorities? What is our strategy for this business or this organization? Are we going to be trying to grow the business organically, grow it through acquisitions? Are we going to be driving a lot of product or service innovation? And I need an organization that is going to be responsive to rolling those out. And, of course, there's always the pressures to reduce cost and reduce risk that apply throughout the business, including to IT. They will not tell you virtualization is what you have to do if you're in IT. What IT is saying is that if I want to deliver these kind of benefits, I want to be able to do things quickly. I want to be able to dynamically put resources where they're needed. I want to mitigate the risks I have in the data center environment, whether they're risks related to power and cooling, whether they're risks related to the capacity of individual servers and its ability to support a particular application, whether it's the risks associated with people and processes that can cause downtime. Those are IT projects. And for IT, virtualization is a fascinating technology which allows them to address multiple sets of data center issues and provide the benefits that the business is looking for. Right. And it's revolutionary in that sense. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is not another silver bullet, is it? We're really talking about something that is fundamental and that is transformative.
Oh, absolutely. We believe that virtualization is a very important attribute of a next-generation data center. It's been an instrumental part of our adaptive infrastructure, which defines our view of an NGDC for quite a while. And we see virtualization projects as very core to successful transformational initiatives as well.
And nowadays, and actually now for several years, incremental improvements in IT don't get the funding, don't get the attention. We really do need some dramatic improvements in order to get the investment and the move through the inertia. What sort of, even on the tactical level, what sort of benefits are some organizations that you're familiar with enjoying getting their returns on from their virtualization activities?
Well, it really depends on whether you're looking at it from a business point of view or from an IT point of view. Let's look at it both ways. So from an IT point of view, it's clear that they're able to decrease capital costs and they can decrease OPEX costs associated with depreciation of assets by getting much better utilization of the assets they have. They can either get rid of excess equipment or as they do modernization projects, they are able to acquire less infrastructure to run the environment when they have it effectively virtualized. They are able, when they blend it with integrated management so that they manage the physical and virtual resources together and they build an IT environment that really supports the dynamics of virtualization, that they can lower the cost of IT operations inherently by reducing the complexity of it and explicitly by having very standardized and simple procedures covering virtual and physical resources, which in conjunction with the other cost savings frees up people to work on other projects and activities. We see, and so those all actually also contribute to reduced cost for the business, although they're secondary effects in many cases. We see customers being able to improve the quality of service. They're able to virtually eliminate unplanned downtime, especially where it's associated with the base hardware or with the operating environments themselves.
Right.
And they're able to reduce unplanned downtime because if you have an incident, you're not stuck to a particular server and trying to get it back up and running. You can restart the image on another device, on another virtual machine, restore those services, and then you have the time to deal with the diagnosis and repair at your convenience. It's a much saner environment for the IT environment.
Do we have any examples of companies that have moved through this sufficiently that they can look back and determine a return on investment or a total cost of ownership benefit, and what sort of metrics are we seeing in those cases?
certainly we're looking to do ROI types of benefits. I must confess I don't have any that are explicitly quantified, but we do have customers able to articulate some of the tangible and intangible benefits. One good example is Mitel Corporation, who went through a project of both infrastructure modernization, but especially virtualization. It's in order to address the business needs they had to both reduce costs and be more responsive to the business. They were able to drive annually about $300,000 out of their IT budget, a significant amount because they're organized by individual business units there. More importantly, and I love the quote from the data center manager with regard to the relationship with the business, we can now just say yes. So it addresses that flexibility and agility type of question. If you get engaged in larger transformational projects where virtualization is a key element, we have Alcatel-Lucent, who is expecting to reduce their IT operational costs by 25% from virtualization and other transformational projects. In the case of HPIT, we actually have reduced our operational costs by 50%, and virtualization is very much a key factor in being able to do that. It can't take full credit for it, of course, because it was part of a larger set of transformational projects, but absolutely critical to both lowering costs, improving quality of service, improving business continuity, and especially helping the organization be much more flexible and agile to meeting changing needs.
And as you pointed out earlier, we're able to shift the ratio from ongoing maintenance and support costs into the ability for innovation, new systems, new approaches, investments in productivity.
Oh, absolutely. We see a large number of customers spending less than 30% of their IT budget on business priorities and growth initiatives, and 70% or more on management and maintenance. And with virtualization and with these broader transformational initiatives, you can really flip the ratio around. HP has gone to, I think, 80-20. And I know that that's an area that Alcatel-Lucent is also focused on changing substantively.
When you say 80-20, you mean 80% for new initiatives?
Yes, 80% for new initiatives and business priorities and 20% on management and maintenance.
That is significant.
Yeah.
Well, obviously HP has been rethinking virtualization and, of course, has been rethinking infrastructure as well for some time, given its next-generation data center activities and some of the things that it's done internally in terms of reducing the number of data centers and reducing the number of applications. But more than that, HP has got quite a new go-to-market set of initiatives, September initiatives and announcements. Can you run through what you think are some important aspects of these series of announcements and which ones will help people understand the rethinking of virtualization, the strategic approach to virtualization, and also the business outcomes that they should be enjoying from virtualization?
Certainly. The first thing that I would like to highlight is that all of the products and services that we're announcing reflect the fact that we're not just encouraging customers to rethink virtualization, but that we have as well. And in particular, we realize that it's critically important that the products and hardware or software and services that we provide need to embrace the virtual and the physical world together. If customers are going to be able to implement this successfully, they need the expertise, they need the products that will actually let them do it. And that's a lot of what this set of announcements in September is about. Starts with a new Blade server, which is really designed and optimized for the virtualization environment. What we have seen impacting the ability of servers to effectively increase the number of virtual machines they can support or support growth of virtual machines is not so much CPU power as it is the memory and network bandwidth and connectivity. And so we've doubled the memory capacity of the environment, and we have increased the number of network connections that are possible on a single Blade. And that will provide much more headroom for these kind of customers' environments dealing with it at the infrastructure level. At the business service management level, what we're introducing is a number of enhancements to the HP software portfolio for business service management and automation, so that the tools that we provide in what is today the industry's leading portfolio for business service management and automation works with both physical resources for insight and control and management and governance purposes, but also with virtual resources, supporting applications and services being delivered through virtual machines provided by, you know, VMware or Citrix or to come Microsoft. So this is the first wave of announcements from HP Software, basically building in integrated and comprehensive support for the virtual environment as well as the physical environment. That's complemented by some new services capabilities. We recognize that not everyone wants to have, you know, custom kind of service projects or expertise helping them with virtualization. So we have some new services that are much more tactically and specifically oriented that very clearly articulate what the outcomes of the project are, what the time frames of the project are, and also what the costs of the project are. We are augmenting our capabilities. We are the leading, I think we're the leading platform provider for all of the key virtualization vendors out there. We're also the leading training vendor for virtualization out there. And we're announcing, new offerings in both of those portfolios for support and for education services around these virtual environments and virtual capabilities. The integrated support is really key. When customers experience difficulties in their data centers with a business service or application running in the environment, they don't want finger pointing across vendors. And since we're able to support the virtual machine software as well as our operating environments, including Microsoft's, and of course the HP servers underneath them, that we can provide an integrated approach to dealing with corrective issues and getting them fixed on the customer's behalf. On the desktop side, we've had a portfolio of VDI services in place already for VMware. We're announcing a new set of capabilities there for Citrix Zen Desktop, both for products and for services for client virtualization. And as importantly, the work we're doing in those offerings also lay the foundation for supporting Microsoft's Hyper-V when that becomes broadly available in the marketplace as well. Right. In addition to those capabilities, we have a new storage offering. It's key if you look at architecture of the data center that you clearly need to move away from direct attached storage and move to network or shared storage. We have a new product that integrates our Enterprise Virtual Array, which is a leading self-optimizing storage solution for virtualized environments, with PolyServe NAS, which augments the virtualized environment with a clustered file system, making it easy for customers to move to a network-attached or a shared storage model as they make virtualization a more foundational technology in the data center. And then in addition to the investments in the data center environment itself, we are announcing a new family of thin clients, some new blade workstations, which actually I think articulate the point that when it comes to client virtualization, it's really key to have a portfolio of desktop choices so that customers can get the right solution on the right desktop. In many cases, it might be thin clients, but in other cases, it might be blade PCs or workstations, depending on the end user's needs. Mm-hmm. We support all of those, and we support them in different kind of environments. And then also, we also recognize that even if thin clients meet most of the functional needs, that people still want to have sometimes either strong multimedia or 3D performance on some of these desktops. And we're announcing a new remote graphics software offering, which will allow customers to provide a rich multimedia or 3D experience even to client environments not equipped with that with hardware. Okay. So this is the first wave, if you will, of announcements that we're making. It builds on some announcements we made last March, especially with Insight Dynamics VSE for infrastructure management. As well as the Blades announcements with an ILO capabilities that we announced a year or so ago. So continuing to build out this portfolio to make this real for customers and provide the foundation for them to really exploit virtualization for their business benefits.
Great. Now, you mentioned VDI, that's virtual desktop infrastructure. And for those folks who might not be too familiar with desktop virtualization, what we're talking about is bringing back onto the servers the whole presentation of the entire desktop, not just an application or two, but the entire experience. And therefore, every time a user starts up their client device, they're actually getting a fresh new instance of the operating system, which means it could be updated, it could be patched, it could be serviced entirely without the impacting the client device. There's a number of other benefits to desktop virtualization. Is there anything I've missed in terms of those people who are just sort of getting their feet wet around desktop virtualization?
Well, the real driver for desktop virtualization initiatives that we see are organizational concerns around management and security of the client environment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you articulated that what they get is a nice, clean desktop environment whenever they start up the PC. What you didn't say was that it's not uncommon for end users to kind of visit sites they shouldn't or open mail they shouldn't. And get their environment infected by spyware or malware or viruses or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so client virtualization solutions can really give you a strong handle around management and security and reducing the cost of both while increasing the control of both. And also in environments where customers have a lot of knowledge workers, one hole for many areas of corporate risk protection is the protection of end user data that's on the desktop. And in a client virtualization environment, you're able to do much better control of protecting end user data. And, oh, by the way, if the end users move around, either to different offices or different locations, they still have access to their data no matter where they connect from.
And so when we look at virtualization in this larger context, we're seeing that the applications can be virtualized, the infrastructure, it's bringing everything back into a server and data center infrastructure, but that has a lot of benefits in terms of control, manageability, doing things on a productive level of utilization and continuity. It's almost going back to the future. Are we, in a sense, enjoying the best of the era 30 or 40 years ago around mainframes and control, but with the best of the latest iterations of IT around flexibility, applications as services, internet and browser activities? Or am I overstating it to say we've sort of got the best of the older and the newer aspects of IT now that we're doing this contextually?
Well, I'm glad that you stated this as combining the best of both worlds, because while the world we had 30 to 40 years ago with mainframes and indeed with mini computers was still one of centralized control and of environments that were not necessarily responsive to changing needs of the business or individual departmental or business unit needs. That clearly is seen as a great attribute of the modern data center and modern IT environment.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an environment which was able to really control and manage and secure that environment and all the areas that managed. So, yes, combining the two of having the agility and flexibility that people want, of having the control and discipline that people want, and also providing access to the innovation that's taking place in the outside world. We are kind of bringing them the best of all these worlds. But if a customer is going to realize this, they're not going to get those benefits just by doing server virtualization projects.
Right. Well, very good. So we've seen how virtualization does have an economic benefit. It can bring control and security and manageability back into a managed approach, a professional approach for the IT people. At the same time, providing some of these business outcomes, agility, flexibility, and responsiveness that are so important now in a global economy and in a fast-moving marketplace. And, of course, as you mentioned, this is a wave of announcements, but perhaps much more to come in the not-too-distant future.
Oh, yes. You'll see us continuing to do enhancements and innovation in the infrastructure, in servers, storage, networking, and the I.O. fabrics that link them all together. You'll see us continuing to innovate and drive more capability and value into the people that our customers make use of, whether it's in the support or education side or in the project and strategy side. And you'll see us continuing to invest in enhancements in the software portfolio to really provide a comprehensive view of everything going on in the data center. And we continue to be, you know, a leading innovator on the client side, both of the devices that sit on the desktop themselves, whether they're standalone or whether they're with client virtualization, and with the software and tools that make client virtualization work. So this is just really the first wave. Excellent. Of what is a pretty serious investment area for Hewlett-Packard.
Yeah, and clearly has the opportunity to accommodate a lot of the needs of IT, but give them the opportunity to do that almost impossible task, which is to do more for less.
Yeah, we all have that task, and the challenge is how do you crack that nut?
Yeah.
And when we talked about data center transformation last spring, we introduced the concept of spend to save to spend to grow. Mm. And the key is finding a way to bootstrap yourself into this. And that's why we look at these things not from a forklift perspective, because nobody's going to do that, frankly, but rather what are the kind of projects you can undertake and then link the projects together over time for transformational purposes, but also realize benefits from them, so it becomes self-funding after a while. And the example that I like to use for that is a consolidation is a best practice in data centers today. It's a way of life. But if you really want to significantly change the outcomes from consolidation, which can be substantial, it's worthwhile investing in a virtualization initiative. Because when you do that, you can consolidate to even less infrastructure. But before you invest in virtualization, or after you've done it, you might look at investing in an applications modernization project. Because the more applications that can be virtualized, the more you can consolidate.
Right.
So you get savings from the individual projects, but you're kind of multiplying the results together over time. And that's when it gets really interesting for a customer.
Yeah, so we have these overlaps, these interdependencies, makes it complex, needs to be thought through in a total contextual framework. But as you say, the end result, if you do that, is true transformation.
Right, and the easiest way to think it through, frankly, is from a business perspective. Because if you look at it from the bottom up, there are so many interconnections and possible paths forward that it's easy to get lost in the weeds.
Yes.
And if you start top down, you say, what are the business services I'm providing? What are the applications I'm running for the business? What are the characteristics that we need to have in place for these from a business perspective? Now, what does that mean in terms of what I do in IT and what I do in the data center? And does it make sense to virtualize it or not?
Mm.
If not, carve it aside, manage it on its own. If it does, what am I going to do to effectively both implement virtualization and manage it from a business perspective? But there's a much, much smaller pool of applications and business services being provided than there are of servers and storage devices.
Well, great. I think we'll have to leave it there. We've been talking about rethinking virtualization and putting it in the context of business outcomes as well as IT transformation. And we've been discussing this also in the context of a number of new initiatives and announcements that Hewlett-Packard has made. And we've been joined by John Bennett. He's the Worldwide Director of Data Center Transformation Solutions and the HP TSG Lead for Virtualization. Thank you so much, John. It's been very, very interesting and edifying.
Thank you very much, Dana, for this opportunity. We think there's so much promise in virtualization. And we think by rethinking it in business terms, one can maximize the potential for your own organization.
Great. This is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inner Arbor Solutions. You've been listening to a Briefings Direct podcast. Thanks, and come back next time.